Dear learners, now in this session, we have discussion about advanced communication at the workplace. It requires the basic objectives of this are how you need to be more clear about your sound, about consonant, about vowel, how you need to put stress, syllable, your intonation, and how you describe listening and how you give enough time for the listeners. So these things are very essential to be developed as per the advanced communication at the workplace. As already we had a discussion that communication skills are the most crucial part of the BPO industry and will make you aware of the steps of taking your communication to the next level. Through this lesson, you will be acquainted with vowel sounds and the various types of stress while speaking a word as well as a sentence. You'll also learn listening as a barrier to listening, how we should listen and how we should not create a barrier in listening, rather be very positive and keep patience about it. So first, consonant sounds and vowel sound and word stress. So we are going to discuss the same, how accurately it helps and provides a good modulation. As mentioned in the previous lesson, as we had a discussion over this, English is not a phonetic language. Phonetic language means one place, the same alphabet mean or pronounce something else, but in some other place, the same alphabet will be pronounced in some other way. Like the example, you get it. The letter S, if I talk about the letter S, if you say S-U-G-E-R, it is sugar. Now, if you say station, so here T-I is giving the pronunciation or the phonetic voice of S-H, sugar, station. And if you speak chef, C-H-E-F, here C-H is giving the pronunciation of S-H. In all these letters, whether it's sugar, whether it's pressure, whether it's station, whether it is chef, everywhere SH sound is given, though everywhere the spelling is different. In pressure, you have double S. In sugar, you have single S. In station, you have TI. And in producing chef, you have CH. So this is basically to tell you that English is not a phonetic language. Every different word, every different pronunciation is originated in its own. That you must understand. And if you talk about consonant, consonant sounds are the sounds that are produced when there is a partial or complete interruption of the flow of air by one of the speech organ. That is a practice which must be given, like we call them articulators, like tongue, teeth, lips. Everything is very much essentially required to be molded so that it could be in that way. And what are the basic characteristics of consonant sound? Basic characteristic, the sound are typically short and abrupt when used in speech. And these sounds are relatively sharper as compared to other sounds. They are basic characteristic of consonant sounds. Then vowel sounds. Vowel sounds are sounds that are produced when there is no interruption in the flow of air by the speech organ. Your speech organ should not produce no interruption in the flow. And the need for vowel sound, you may be unfamiliar with some of the sounds that end up enunciating them incorrectly, though they should be given in a different way. So that also requires the practice by speaking. So vowel sound and consonant both will be as per the listening way. The more you listen to it, the better you will develop. And then next comes very important, that is syllable. Dear learners, syllable means where to lay stress. Now, in syllable, every word either made up of a part or a sum of parts. If these parts are not pronounced properly or the sounds in the parts are not enunciated correctly, then the meaning that the word is trying to convey would not be transferred properly to the listeners. And some of the syllables. The example I'm giving you here, like if you put stress there, like your syllable stress is dependent on your pitch, the length of the word, and the loudness. Pitch means the stressed syllable would have a different pitch. It is usually higher in pitch than all the other syllables in a word. Example, if you say about, so here about. So about, two syllables are there, about. And bout is given a little more stress. Your pitch becomes a little high. Your length becomes a little more. Your loudness also comes up. So that is the correct pronunciation. That is the clarity of speech that comes by using syllabic stress. So syllabic stress and syllables, where to be used and how to be used, play a very important role in your communication. Pattern of syllable stress. How to develop it? When a word ends with, very important thing, listeners and learners, a very important thing that you must develop. When a word ends with IC, SIVE, SION, CIAN, or TION. Got it? When the word ends with these, which I spoke, the maximum or primary stress is given on the second last syllable. Example, if I say economic, so economic, E-C-O-N-O-M, N-O-M is given more stress in this syllable, economic. Comprehensive, hen is given little more, comprehensive. So S-I-V-E, end with S-I-V-E, before S-I-V-E, hen is there, comprehensive. Apprehensive, decision, incision, musicians, mathematician, attention. We say attention. So last is T-I-O-N, before T-I-O-N, double T-E-N. So here stress is given. Attention, detention. So you need to keep these words in your mind. If the ending of the word is with this, which I spoke, so it must be the prior syllable will be given more stress. And secondly, when a word ends with ity, phy, cy, gy, ular, ical, like this. So there, that is given more syllable stress, like capability, ity, before ity, capability, democracy. We say democracy, technical, physical. So here we put more stress with these. So that you need to develop in such a way. Number of other words are there with the rule that ends with second syllable. They are called second syllable in dissyllable nouns. There are exceptions to the rule also, which you come to know, that is given here. If I speak the word cartoon, so here C-A-R-T-O-O-N, cartoon. So tune is the word which is given stress. So likewise, different syllables, different words, as it has no phonetic, English is not a phonetic language, it has its own basic pronunciation, which you need to develop. Now, second important thing is about listening. Listening, as I told you, a good listener is only a good orator. So what about listening? We listen every day, in fact, every moment of the day. And the first language that we acquire is purely by listening only. That is why children who are deaf, they take longer to grasp a language than others. And generally, you also see those who are deaf, they are dumb also. Why? Because they don't listen. And if they don't listen, how can they speak? So listening is most critical part of communication chain. One should develop that. What are the basic components of listening or basic principles of listening? What are this? They are like a good listener will listen not only to what is being said, but also to what is left unsaid or only partially said. A good listener knows if it is partially said or something is left. And effective listening involves observing body language and noticing the gap noticing the things between verbal and non-verbal messages. Now, in order to listen effectively, one must inculcate important things. One must inculcate these basic components. What are they? Number one, stop talking. If you want to listen, suppose you want to listen to me and you are also talking. So how can both the activities take place? How can you listen and talk? Both the activities cannot take place simultaneously. So first thing is stop talking. If we are supposed to talk more than we listen, we would have two tongues and one ear. This is said by Mark Twain. God gave us two ears and one tongue. It means we need to listen more and speak less. But in today's time, we speak more and listen less. That is the basic problem, that we are unable to be a good speaker. We are unable to be an effective speaker. Then put the speaker at ease. The most important thing, we don't put the speaker at ease. We interrupt in between. We have number of queries and questioning in between. We have a lot of disturbance in between, that we should not. Remember the needs and concern, and also give body language, your gestures, and encourage the speaker to continue. Give your positive note, positive body language, so that the speaker could go through that. And also maintain eye contact, but don't stare the person. Sometimes what happens, we stare to the speaker. We constantly stare. No, not staring. Just give an eye contact and listen to the person. Nodding is also very essential while listening to the fellow, so that the fellow could feel, the speaker could feel that you are really listening to somebody. And next one, remove distractions. While listening, you should remove distractions. Means don't involve yourself in any other activity. Don't shuffle the papers or look here and there while somebody is speaking. Don't try to look out of the room or windows. These all things just are a kind of distractions. Don't doodle here and there. And that also doesn't give a good etiquette. Next one, empathize also. Means sometimes while listening, see which is the issue that is being spoken. What is the topic? What is the idea that is being shared? And if it is something which need to be empathized, one must empathize also with the speaker. And if the speaker says something that you disagree with, then wait and construct an argument to counter what is said. Not argument, it will be a kind of suggestion that is said. But keep an open mind to the views and opinions of others also. We need not to immediately contradict with the fellow. We need to keep that point in mind, and then we need to, after the talk is over, we need to discuss the doubts or wherever we get contradiction. Next one, be patient. To be patient is very essential if you want to listen somebody. So maintain patience and never interrupt or finish a sentence for someone. And avoid personal prejudice. Sometimes we have this assumption, why to listen this fellow? Is he or she more intelligent than me? Is he or she more talented than me? We have some biased attitude. We have some prejudiced attitude that we should never keep. If we want to be a good listener, we should cut all these things from our mind and get what the fellow is saying. Everybody has a different way of speaking. Some people are, for example, more nervous or shy than others. Some have regional accent. They belong to some part of, suppose a person who belongs to southern part of India, the accent and language will be a little different. The person who belongs to eastern part of India, the accent will be different. So never keep such any presumptions, rather give a motivation to the fellow. And listen to the tone also. Tone speaks a lot about the topic, a lot about the person. Tone has its own advantage, and we must be attentive. Everybody will use pitch, tone, and volume of voice in certain situations. Then listen for ideas, not just words. When we listen to the people, we should listen for the ideas, what idea is being shared. But sometimes we don't go to the idea, we go only to the words. We should go to the idea, we should go to the basic root, ki what is to be transferred, what is to be conveyed. So our attitude for that. And now These are the things which one must inculcate to be a good listener. And if we are a good listener, only then we can be a good speaker. Next one, types of listening. How many types of listening are there? You know, discriminative listening and comprehension listening. Discriminative listening is the most basic type of listening, where the difference between different sounds is identified. If you cannot hear differences, then you cannot make sense of the meaning that is expressed by such differences. Discriminative means you need to learn how to discriminate between sounds. Discriminate means difference. That is very basic way of listening. After that, comprehension listening means you listen to comprehend. You listen to understand. Comprehend means understand. What is being spoken, you should understand that. To comprehend, the meaning requires first having a lexicon of words at our fingertips and also all rules of grammar and syntax by which we can understand what others are saying. That is comprehensive listening, we are understanding. Comprehensive passage, dear learners, you must have done. Comprehensive passage means you read and understand. Here, comprehensive listening, you listen and understand. Then critical listening. Critical listening is a listening to evaluate the fellow, what the person has spoken, how much correct, what other points to be there. Means here you need to be little more judgmental, you can say. That requires your analytical approach. Critical listening requires your analytical approach, your judgmental ideas, forming opinion about the speaker, what is being said. Judgment includes assessing strength and weakness, agreement and approval. That is critical listening. And then selective listening. Selective listening means when a person hears only what they want to hear. Like you want to hear somebody's speech. You just hear that fellow's speech. It is selective listening. Already your mind is made up. You are already ready. You have already given food to your mind that you are going to listen to that fellow, so that there should be no other interruption. You have already given everything positive vibes to your mind that you are going to listen to that person. That is selective listening. And then active listening means while you are listening, you should be active. Listening in itself means that to listen somebody carefully. Listening is the word. It is not hearing. Difference between hearing and listening. Overhear, hear and listen. So listening already means that something which you are taking more seriously, and active listening means where full attention is given to what the other person is saying. That is active listening. And this can be displayed by asking questions or paraphrasing. If you have listened actively, you can paraphrase that thing. You can put up questions, you can summarize, you can give value points there. So that comes under active listening. So these are the things which determines how you are going through it. Now, the most important is telephonic etiquette. How we should interact on telephone. Just see, telephonic etiquette is very essential in today's BPO industry. Because most of the time, you are there on telephone. Whether at work, at home, or on your mobile phones, there are many solid telephone etiquette which are just categorized. But most important, which I'm going to share you today, there are 8. You can categorize them in 8. Display at all times. Everyone should display these 8 etiquettes at all times. What are they? Number one, listen to me carefully. Number one, always identify yourself at the beginning of all calls. Identify yourself. Hello, I am so-and-so from this and this company. I am so-and-so from this and this institute. Identify yourself. Second, be sensitive to the tone of your voice. Don't say, hello, I am so-and-so from there. No, you should not. Be sensitive. Be polite to your tone. Third, think exactly what you plan to say and discuss before you place a call. Be very particular, be very concise, be very precise, be very just particular what you are going to say. Don't talk here and there. Give that statement what you are supposed to. And next, don't allow interruptions to occur during conversations. Means sometimes you call to the fellow, then say, oh, I forgot. Oh, I wanted to share a very important thing. Oh, I'm not getting it in my mind. No, it should not be like this. There should be no interruptions. You should be very clear about it. And especially when leaving any message, speak very clearly and slowly also, so that the fellow who is listening to you could note it down. So be clear and slow. Sixth one, build the habit of always turning off your cell phone ringer when entering a meeting, restaurant, theater, or any other training or any other classes. The most important, telephonic etiquette. Always have this habit, either to off it or to silent it. Next one, always speak into the telephone receiver with an even and low tone of voice. And eighth one, don't allow yourself to be distracted by other activities while speaking on the telephone. Suppose you are speaking on the telephone, some other activities are also taking place here and there, and you be distracted. So don't be distracted as well. Be focused to whom you're talking and what you're talking. Clear? One must inculcate. Then comes to group discussion. Now, what are the key elements that needed to discuss, that needed to be success, that needed to succeed in a group discussion? What are the key ingredients of this? The key ingredients which we are going to discuss today about the group discussion as follows, like display of communication skills through knowledge of ideas regarding the subject. What? Display of communication skills through knowledge of ideas. It's not only communication skill, it is the knowledge and ideas also. The topic should be under your fist. Second, you should also reflect leadership quality while group discussion. Leadership quality is also very essential. Next one, positive and cooperative approach towards other candidates in the group. Means don't always be very critical. Don't always be judgmental. Be positive. Be supportive. Be cooperative towards other and listen to them. And next one, address the group as a whole. Don't be one-to-one. Suppose somebody spoke some statement, you are not very much satisfied and agree with this. So don't point out that fellow only. Address to the whole group. Addressing to the whole group is very essential. It's a group discussion. It's not a one-to-one debate. An ability to stand up to physical and mental stresses and difficulties. You should have that ability. At that time when you are in group discussion, you should not reflect any physical or mental stress. Sometimes the people who are in group discussion or presenting something, they show a lot of mental stress, a lot of physical stress that must be avoided. So these are the basic components, very essential components, which must be incorporated to have healthy group discussions. And few things which candidate must prepare, these are the good guidelines for the candidate for the group discussion, which I'm going to share, is don't overindulge in irrelevant discussion. Never indulge in irrelevant discussions. Be tactful to control the over-talkative member. Sometimes in group, you'll find some people who are over-talkative. Be tactful to control that. Don't contradict the fellow. Don't embarrass him, but be tactful. Next, most important, don't let one or two members to monopolize the discussion. As I told you previously as well, discussion or communication is the common property. It must be shared by all. Generally what happens, one or two fellow just have the monopoly of the discussion. They monopolize and they speak and others just become listener. So it should not happen. That is very essential. Be mature enough to handle criticism and provocation. In group discussions, it happens sometimes that some of the points, some of the fellow may provoke you. Some may criticize your ideas. So you must be very much positive and take criticism in a positive way. And you should know how to handle provocation. Avoid personal arguments in that. Sometimes which is observed. That should not be there. And also, address the entire group in such a way that you could have a pleasing look and eye contact with all. The most important thing, that is clarity in speech and expression. That is another essential trait for performing well in group discussion. Your speech should be very clear, your impressions should be very positive, and your ideas and thoughts should be very mature. So these are very important guidelines for the candidates who are preparing for the group discussions. If you follow these things, if you inculcate such habits, then definitely you will be a successful candidate in group discussions. And this lesson will really enable you to have such extra skills that will enhance not only basic communication, rather advanced communication at your workplace. Thank you very much.